what's happening, what's going on in Sharkland. This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. A big part of my life revolves around the reasons why sharks bite on a very, very rare occasion. And by now I'm pretty sure I understand why most of these incidents happen. Understanding why they happen is one thing, of course, but what's more important is, at least I feel that way, to explain that to a larger crowd in order to make these animals less threatening. And it doesn't matter that they are the least dangerous top predators on our planet, over 100 pounds, the most abundant ones, and that the fatality rate hovers around 5 to 6 events each year, despite the millions of swimming, surfing, and bathing events every day. You would imagine by now people should know, right? But that is not the case. So, whenever I start talking about these incidents, pretty much everybody is of the opinion that it's always a lone shark coming out of nowhere, bites and swims back off into the depth it came from. That's like the idea. And of course, that reflects pretty much the most basic fears we humans have. It comes from the deep, it comes from below. There is no reason why it should bite. It just does it, you know. So basically, we're victims. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth, but opinions are made based on hearsay and, of course, what one hears the most. And when it comes to sharks, everybody seems to rely on these ideas earlier scientists had and what TV of the 80s and 90s made out of it. Against common wisdom, a typical shark bite occurs during daylight, caused by a shark who tried to figure out what a person is because several triggers brought the animal close, and after a bit, mostly superficially, it sticks around because in its world it did not do anything wrong. You may remember when we talked about hit and run, sneak attack, bump and bite. Of course, that's really nonsense. And especially hit and run, that really implies the shark did something wrong and then he took off. Well, in a world of shark, there's nothing that the animal did wrong. So this explanation of a bite is a physical description of a shark having been attracted, homed in, and on rare occasion, then bites. But beside the physical part, there's also a mental part. So whenever a shark bites, it must have overcome two different boundaries, the physical one and the mental one. Although we only focus on the getting closer part, because that's what we see, right? The mental part is the one aspect we should have focused on years ago, because that is what actually then causes the bite. And to be honest, that's really still a hard part to figure out. We spoke about the inner and outer thresholds, inner outer circles in the past and the comfort zone. So I like to focus here on the mental boundary, especially on the mental boundary. The other one really, I think we really covered that. Of course, it goes without saying that we can never know what an animal truly thinks or follow its thinking process. But based on the performed ways, when a shark comes closer, we at least can have a theoretical chronology. What may happen or has to happen for a shark to get closer, or at least closer? We should always keep in mind that a shark does not know or understand what a human being is. So all it can try is to look for familiar aspects like water pressure or sound patterns. Something we do too when there's something unfamiliar, we do not really look for the unfamiliar part. We look for what does it remind us of or what does it look like. So in the case of sharks, it may start with a search image. But as soon as a person gets into the visual range of a searching shark, the image presented to the animal will likely create a first hesitation. Why? Because the search image is not confirmed. And it does not matter what the shark had in mind, it will find. Humans never confirm a search image because there is no search image for a human being in a shark's repertoire. Of course, now you can say a shark that has been fed every day, then when he hears something, then he looks actually for a diver or a swimmer or whatever it is case that fed him before. Yes, I believe that a shark can learn to create a search image for us, but I do not believe that sounds human make is so unique that the shark would know, well, it's not a fish, but a human being. Anyway, so this first discrepancy of what the animal should find and does find throws a first curveball at the shark. Granted, sharks occasionally come down closer right away, but the majority of them stays away and may even leave the visual range in no time at all. So, assuming the shark sticks around, it either remains at the visual periphery or it comes close to a distance that still allows it to back off or swim off, and so all or at least most escape routes remain open. And that is really a crucial part, and I cannot mention it enough. Escape routes is the most important part when a shark moves in. In order for a shark to get as close as biting distance, it must weigh between potential harm and being able to fend it off. But again, the escape routes should remain open. I have to admit that this stage of indecision, or maybe better put, weighing potential harm, is something very intriguing, because I fully believe that the size of the shark does not really matter at this point. Of course, a fully grown white shark seems to have less problems with a human being compared to a reef shark that may have the same lengths as a person when fully grown. But can we really assume this to be the case? I don't think so, because, for example, you know my favorite shark, the black tip. Some call it the pelagic black tip, or limbatus. That is one cocky little guy. And they come closer much quicker than any white shark ever would. I believe that this hesitation to come closer and potentially expose the shark to harm is a well-developed in smaller sharks as it is in the bigger ones. And some of them, like the black tip, they have a complete different idea about not getting in harm's way, reducing escape routes. But that is something we really should explore a little further down the road. Grant, there are sharks like white tip, reef sharks, that do not seem to have any hesitation to come closer. But that seems to be a totally different mental construction altogether that I also like to explore further down the road. So if we would say size matters, I don't think so. But anyway, we will discuss in a later show about size and approach pattern. So back to the large sharks and their mental construct when it comes to us. I am a strong believer that nature favors the inquisitive but still cautious creature, and a healthy dosage between exploration, determination, combined with still a sound hesitation towards the unknown is the formula for staying alive and, more importantly, be able to reproduce successfully. So it all seems to come down to when to explore and when to withdraw. Once we figure out what happens in a shark's mindset when he goes through an exploration of something new, we likely understand its success having been on this planet for over 400 million years. This time frame is unreached by pretty much anything else. Many top and super predators came and went, but not so the sharks. Of course, the animals of the early ages did not make it into our millennium, but most of their genes did, and so in part those early predators survived too. But of course, much more evolved towards today's scenarios. Except, of course, counting in humans. That's a different thing, but yeah, that most likely will break the neck. Sharks are the most unique success story out there, and there's no question about it. And what makes them even more unique is that from the get-go, they were predators, and so were forced to explore new food sources, or with other words, chasing and hunting down new prey right from the get-go. So think about that. How did they do it and not get extinct? I mean, yes, the overpowered prey were mostly also hunted down by other large predators. So they must have somehow choose their battles, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have them anymore. And that mindset is what intrigues me the most. I feel that this mindset kicks in when they approach us. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.